This is the day that the Lord has made. Lord, direct our thoughts, help us to pray, and lift up our hearts to worship you in spirit and in truth, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Spirit of God fills the whole world. The processional hymn, Rejoice in God's Saints, Today and All Days. Welcome, everybody, to this Children's Day service as we meet on this St. Columba's Day. We will be focusing our thoughts on the inheritance of Columba and how he inspired the development of Christianity on these islands, and also focusing on the recent commemorative events to mark the 80th anniversary of D-Day and how they are relevant to us in our day. But firstly, we acknowledge before God the things that are amiss in our lives. We seek God's forgiveness and the grace to do better. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. O God, our loving Father in heaven, we confess that we have sinned against you, we have broken your commandments, we have often been selfish, and we have not loved you as we should. For these and all our sins, forgive us, we pray, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In the name of Jesus, I declare to you, you are forgiven, your sins are gone. Be strong in the Holy Spirit and live for God. Amen. Let us praise God for his mercy. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The hymn, Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful. O God, you called your servant Columba from among the princes of this land to be a herald and evangelist of your kingdom. Grant that your church, remembering his faith and courage, may so proclaim the splendor of your grace that people everywhere will come to know your Son as their Savior and serve him as their King, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4, beginning of verse 1. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised from the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples and shall arbitrate between strong nations far away. They shall beat their swords through plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees, and no one shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all people walk, each in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever.
The hymn, The Lord My Shepherd, I'll Not Want. acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Now, the lame Columba, the name of the saint we remember today, derives from Columkille, which literally means the dove of the church. The dove, a symbol we associate with peace, is an integral part of Columba's name. Born in 521 AD, 521 years after Christ, in Garten, that was a rural area of the present-day County Donegal. And he came from a family connected to the ruling dynasty of the O'Neills. And his early education took place in a monastic school at Movilla Abbey, where Columba was introduced to the Latin classics and the basics of Christianity. And he found various monasteries throughout Ireland. Unfortunately, there involved a dispute between him and another monk, St. Finian of Movilla. In those days, the monks drew and wrote by hand beautiful sketches of various biblical books. The most famous, of course, is the renowned Book of Kells, which you can still see today if you're in Dublin and go to the library of Trinity College. The book is there, a page is turned each day, and you see the magnificent production. In that case, it's a copy of the four Gospels. But this particular manuscript that Columkille prepared was a copy of the Book of Psalms. He borrowed the original version from St. Finian and had copied it, intending to keep the copy, but Finian objected, arguing that the copy rightfully belonged to him. And the dispute escalated and led to a battle in which several people were killed. And after the battle, Columba was held responsible and was exiled. So he left his homeland of Ireland and sailed to Scotland with 12 companions, arriving in Iona in 563 AD. He carried out missionary work in and throughout Scotland. And there is a legend. This is a story that has developed over the centuries. We don't know for certain whether it's true or not. In all likelihood, it probably isn't, but it makes a good story that he met, while he was in Scotland, the Loch Ness Monster. He came upon a group of people near the River Ness, and a man there was reportedly attacked by a water beast while swimming. Columba, upon hearing this, sent one of his followers to swim across the river, and as the beast approached the swimmer, Columba apparently made the sign of the cross and commanded the creature to go no further and touch the man not. And the creature halted as if he was pulled back and fled, and Columba's follower returned to his companions unharmed. A likely story, you might say, and it probably is, but at the same time, the truth it tells is that Columba was a man of influence who ministered particularly amongst the Picts in Scotland and in the later years of his life, continued to transcribe books and to actively participate in monastic life, inspiring those around him with his dedication to prayer and labor until he died on the 9th of June, 597. Then we are also reminded that today is, of course, the Sunday after the 80th anniversary of D-Day. What can we imagine? Something of what that day was like. Crashing waves off the shores of Normandy and France, pounding guns, the contact hum of aircraft, the armada of over 5,000 naval vessels and landing craft, an international invasion force of over 150,000 men. These were the sights and sounds that signaled the start of the Normandy invasion on the 6th of June, 1944, what we call D-Day. Obviously, the number of men who fought in D-Day, who are still alive, is diminishing. There aren't many left, and those that are very, very old men indeed. But wasn't it very moving on the television during the week to see men in their late 90s, into their hundreds, in some cases 109, 110, with help, of course, but making it out to France and taking part in the remembrance ceremonies. And for many years, these men didn't really talk about their experiences, so horrific they were. And many, of course, didn't return at all. I think it was some 4,000 were killed on the very first day of the invasion, some of them drowning when they alighted from their boats before reaching the beach shore. But however, it was a great success in the long run, and the invasion led to the liberation of France and paving the way for the Allies to advance further into Europe and to relieve it of Nazi tyranny. So, I say particularly to the very young members among us, why should we remember a day like D-Day? 80 years on, we should continue to remember and pay tribute to the soldiers who risked everything for our freedom, their sacrifice, particularly those who gave their lives, deserves our gratitude. D-Day, it teaches us about courage, resilience, and the cost of war. It reminds us that to strive for peace and to do all we can to prevent such momentous conflicts in the future means we need to remember so that we don't make the same mistakes again. And may God grant that in the years to come, we will remember the sacrifices of those men 80 years ago and strive to ensure that it doesn't occur again. Since the end of the Second World War, which will be 80 years ago, next year, Europe has basically been at peace where military conflict is concerned. But there are ominous signs, not least in Ukraine, that if we don't watch very carefully, that the conflict could spread further. Let us, in our support of all peacemakers in our country and in Europe, and throughout the world, that their good work may prevail and we may continue in peace. Amen. Would you please stand? We respond to the ministry of God's word by affirming our faith. Do you believe and trust in God the Father?
I believe God, Father Almighty, Creator.
Do you believe in God the Son?
I
Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
This is the faith of the Church.
This is our faith. We believe and trust in one Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
The hymn, Lord, while for all the world we pray of every clime and coast. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our homes and families, for our food and clothing, and for all the joy that fathers, mothers, and children can share. be with us where people see us at our best and at our worst. We ask that your love may surround us, your care protect us, and that we may know your peace at all times. Lord, in your mercy. Forgive us when jealousy, greed, temper, or pride disturb the peace of a family. Help us to find the right words and the right actions to soothe and heal the hurt. Forgive us when we quarrel. Help us to forgive others. Help others to forgive us. Lord, in your mercy. Father, you made us to live together in families. Grant to all parents wisdom and understanding in the upbringing of their children, that as they grow in stature, so too they may learn to love you more day by day. Lord, in your mercy. Today, O Lord, remember for good all our friends. Thank you for those with whom we play day by day, as well as those who are far away. Bless those too whom we find it hard to be friends with, and make us true friends to one another and to the Lord Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, look in love on all our neighbors. Keep them from all harm. Deepen our friendship with them, and may we grow in love of you, our Savior and our friend. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus Christ, our unseen yet eternal friend, the giver of true friendship, the guardian of our love, we pray for all our absent friends and loved ones, wherever in our great world they may be. Bless them with the fullness of your grace and power. You know the pain and loneliness of being separated. As we link our hands in yours, grant us to know the strength and peace of your presence and the sheltering warmth and comfort of your love. Lord, in your mercy. God our Father, we thank you for the times of rest from the normal daily round. However we spend our holiday this summer, may we be enabled to find the threefold recreation of body, mind, and spirit that will strengthen us for your service in the days that lie ahead. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord God of hosts, as we remember all who died in conflict, especially on D-Day 80 years ago, stretch forth your almighty arm to protect our servicemen and women of today. Endue them with courage and loyalty, and grant that in all things they may serve without reproach. Lord, in your mercy. God our Father, we ask your blessing on all children dear to us and those for whom we have responsibility. Grant that they may grow up healthy and strong, wise and good, in the knowledge of your love and in the service of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And gathering all our prayers and praises into one, we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, at this point in the service, as a church and as a parish, we recognize the attendance of our young people at church and at Sunday school. So I'm going to ask, I think it's Heather's going to help me with this, and when your name is called, do come forward, please. Right. Evie Lang and Ruby Lang, will you come up? Good. Great. Congratulations. Okay. There you are. And Holly O'Neill and Joshua O'Neill. Okay. Well done. That's your sister's. Okay. I'll give you this one. You're welcome. One for you too. Thank you. Okay, well done. Harris Mathers. Well done, Harris. Okay, thank you. And we have Ollie Spence and Toby Spence. Have I got them the right way around? No, the other way around, sorry. Well done. Okay, thank you. Thank you. And the citizens should their cousins of them, so we can give them. No. Give them to them. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Well done to the boys and girls. And there are some others who couldn't be here today. We'll obviously be passing those prizes on. And boys and girls, see those gifts to you this morning as an encouragement to you to keep up your membership of church and Sunday school. And Sunday school, there's a break now for the summer months, but we will resume, God willing, on the first Sunday in September, as we normally do. It is an opportunity to say a big thank you to our Sunday school teachers who, week by week, month by month, irrespective of how many are here, faithfully prepare so that Sunday school can always take place. So I want to say a big thank you to Jackie Lang, to Jill Dunn, and to Heather Bradford. And as a church and parish, I think it would be appropriate if we showed our appreciation to them tangibly. Yeah. Thank you very much indeed. Right, the collection at this service, we are going to donate it this year to Air Ambulance. I can't recall whether we have supported Air Ambulance in a church collection. We certainly have at events in the hall, but they are a charity. They're not relying on NHS or government funding. It's entirely voluntary that keep them going, but yet they do play an absolutely vital role both in the community and at large in being of assistance at crisis times and on many occasions have saved injured from death. So I do appeal to you, please give as generously as you can. And the collection hymn is Our Father, We Have Wandered and Hidden from Your Face. Face in foolish with fear and shame. As you feel compelling, we hear you call your name. And now at length discerning, Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Items for the food bank may be left here in church today. Sunday next, we will be observing, you and I, the 40th anniversary of my ordination with parish communion here in church at 10 o'clock. Presiding will be the bishop, and the special preacher will be the Right Reverend Dr. Kenneth Kieran, former Bishop of Limerick and Killaloe, who taught me at college, and he, of course, will be speaking in place of Lord Eames, who, because of his recent fall, cannot be with us. I'm pleased, though, to say he is recovering well. He is now home from hospital and has specifically asked me to say he is very appreciative of all our thoughts and prayers, which of course will continue. Following the service, everyone is invited to light refreshments, which will be served in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. Later, there will be a parish picnic by kind permission at Larchfield, with a brief formal opening at 2:30 p.m. sharp, with those attending please requested to bring their own food. Obviously, this is a moment that will mean an awful lot to me personally. I don't know where 40 years have gone, three quarters of which, of course, have been spent here. I do hope, and I'm having been around and known you so long, I am confident I will have all your support next Sunday. But if you could pass the encouragement on to those to whom I've had a particular ministry over the years, whether that's been baptizing babies or preparing candidates for confirmation, officiating at marriages, or helping as best I could parishioners who had been bereaved, it would be lovely if you could be there. There will be some other invited guests as well, but it would mean a particular encouragement to me if those of you who I've known so well over these past 30 years could be here from this group of parishes. I should have mentioned the collection in church next Sunday. The background to that is that the bishop is requesting that as a diocese we contribute to the mode of transport used by clergy in going around our linked diocese of Muridi, which is by bicycle. Now, it certainly wouldn't be practical to send bicycles from here out to Muridi, but we can contribute to the purchase of bicycles, which will make life so much easier for the clergy and a far more effective ministry for them to their people in Muridi. So that is what we will contribute to by way of collection next Sunday. And once again, I would encourage you to give as generously as you can. And thank you all for your presence here this morning in support of our young people. Thank you, Josh, for helping us out on the organ this morning. Finally, I would just like to mention that although they're not here, but I think we would all like to join together in greeting them, and I'm sure our feelings will be received by them. Bert and Ruth Carlisle, this past week, they celebrated the 63rd anniversary of their wedding. And as they have provided the flowers in church for us this morning. And Ruth, on Friday, reached the milestone of 90 years of age. As we know, neither are in the best of health at present, but we do convey to them our love and very best wishes and hope that they find sufficient health and strength to live as positive a life as possible in their circumstances. The recessional hymn, "We Shall Go Out with Hope of Resurrection." Hold and lead us.